Anan Zaki is with us for business. Kia ora, Anan, and there's high optimism in the labour market.
Kia ora, Mani. Yes, the labour market remains buoyant and continues to strengthen despite lockdowns. The Westpac McDermott Miller Employment Confidence Index is up nearly 2 points to 105.7 in the 3 months ended September, well above pre-pandemic levels. Workers are more upbeat about their job prospects in light of skill shortages caused partly by closed borders. Westpac's acting chief economist Michael Gordon says the latest report backs expectations that the unemployment rate will fall below 4%.
The question is whether that's a sustainable position. Is it sort of coming about because of productivity improvements that mean you can sustain those higher wages, or is it just an inflationary issue, in which case at some point the Reserve Bank's got to be stepping in to combat it?
And your view is sort of skewed towards the latter?
Yeah, my view is that it's going to be a cyclical move. That said, I think that it's probably over time there has been a bit of a downward trend in what's the kind of sustainable long-term unemployment rate for various reasons. But even within that, I think once we get below 4%, that's an environment where we're no longer talking about uncomfortably low inflation.
Michael Gordon says employment confidence was mixed across the country, with tourism-reliant regions reporting a notable drop in sentiment. More on Westpac, and Catherine McGrath will take over as Chief Executive of Westpac New Zealand following the retirement of David McLean. She's recently returned from London, where she'd been working in a senior executive roles for the Barclays Group for the past 8 years. Westpac Group's Chief Executive Peter King says she's an experienced and well-respected financial services leader with a background in banking in New Zealand and in Britain. She'll start in mid-November, subject to regulatory approvals in Australia and New Zealand. Consumer New Zealand has added its voice to calls for buy now, pay later schemes to be regulated. A survey shows about 14% of shoppers have missed payments, costing them more than $10 million in fees. Buy now, pay later schemes are not covered by consumer finance laws, which require lenders to take a responsible approach to lending and also give cooling off periods on purchases. The head of banking at advisory firm KPMG, John Kensington, says consumers don't regard the fees as interest, but also don't realise late fees and defaults will affect their credit worthiness. He says it's an open question whether these schemes need regulating.
The question is are they using the products for the intended purpose and is it safe? If so, you don't need a lot of regulation. If not, you do. And I think when you look at one of the issues is sometimes where a person needs to borrow from another provider and they go and see that provider and that provider has access to their bank statements and all the payments they're making, that provider has to conclude we cannot lend responsibly to that person because their existing loan and or some buy now pay later means they really can't afford much more and they cannot lend any more. Yet that customer can then go and do another buy now pay later. So that's where you've got this delicate balance and this very healthy tension between innovation and regulation.
John Kensington of KPMG. South Korean authorities have jolted cryptocurrency markets by requiring all trading platforms to register, something which the majority have not been able to do so far. The platforms must now have full details of investors and transactions to counter money laundering, illegal financing and fraud. Associate Law Professor Hannah Ye Fen Lim in Singapore says the regulation is a wake-up call.
Many people who buy cryptocurrencies think that they're investing in something of value and at the same time they can make quick cash because the price is so volatile with the swings up and down. So the regulation in South Korea may help people face the reality that cryptocurrencies are entirely speculative, because really the sad reality is that many people who buy cryptos may not even be aware that what they're buying is just imaginary currency, but you know, nothing but just strings of data on a computer network. And in reality, the cryptos are not based on any real world assets. So they're not based on any fundamental. So it's simply what people think they're worth.
Singapore-based Associate Law Professor Hannah Ye Fen Lim. Time for the markets. And for the latest, we're joined by Andrew Austin from Jarden Securities. Kia ora, Andrew. We'll start off with the New Zealand market. What's the major movers?
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey, look, the market is just pretty much flat today, down 5 points. This is 13,300. Just the quick movers. So Pacific Edge, after that capital raise yesterday, is up 4.5% or 4.7% or 7 cents to $1.54. Fonterra's up 15 cents, $4.15. And Skeller up is up 10 to $5.80. Just a couple of decliners there. We've got Fisher & Paykel Healthcare is down 46 cents to $32.82. And Tourism Holdings down 3 to $2.36.
Let's go across the Tasman and we'll hear the headlines from the Australian 200.
Sure. So, they've opened up pretty much dead flat, up 2 points. So, they've opened at 7,372 today.
And the New Zealand dollar?
Sure. Against the US is at 0.7074. Against the Australian, 0.9673. Pound, 0.5151. The euro is at 0.6024. Japanese yen is 78.1.
And finally, interest rates, oil and gold.
Sure. So the three-month bank bill there is at 0.65%. Brent spot crude is at $75.88 US a barrel. And the gold is sitting at $1,746 US an ounce.
Thank you very much, Andrew Austin from Jarden Securities. And we'll have more from Pacific Edge. The Stock Exchange watchdog has confirmed it's looking into disclosures made by the cancer diagnosis company about yesterday's capital raise. NZ Regco says it's already been talking to the company and the Australian Exchange about information released 2 weeks ago. That announcement was about the firm's listing on the ASX, but also outlined plans to raise $70 million. Pacific Edge said the information was incorrect, was posted inadvertently, and no money raising had been approved. It said it was complying with rules of disclosing relevant information. Yesterday, Pacific Edge announced an $80 million capital raising, which has now been completed. NZ Regco says it's now considering yesterday's capital raise in the context of its previous statements. And that is business for now. We'll have more on Checkpoint after the 5:30 news.